Welcome to the Auto Fire Power Hour. Ray Daniel is still on assignment. He's going to be finished soon. It's going to happen soon.
The alarm's going to go
off. The alarm is going to go off, and he will be ready for some assignments. But here, once again, with the incomparable Uncle Bob Bear, and today we're going to be diving into a topic that you and I have been talking about doing since your first appearance on the show several years ago. It's a topic that you and I like to bring up a particular story.
oh, my.
I think that same story was brought up at your wedding by me when I drunkenly commandeered a microphone.
It's so good that on my wedding day, mm-hmm. you get the microphone.
Yes.
And the first thing that you thought to do is to tell this story.
Well, the people needed to know.
Right. All those people from Eastern Europe who were there.
avid Will Wright fans. I knew it. They're also into hobby rocket building as well. Okay. So what we are going to be talking about the SimCity series, and it is a series that you and I both love. It's a series mm-hmm. that both you and I have some large gaps in, which is interesting, and we will talk about that. But to kick things off, let's talk about this story. I think we brought it up on the show before, but it was a long time ago. So we can do it again because this is where it should have been brought up.
And really, the show is like a lot of the episodes I'm on with you. It's somewhat of a rise and fall.
Sure.
The rise being the focus on the original SimCity.
Yes. Well, I'd say the first chunk of SimCity games.
Yes, which is a rise not only in terms of gaming quality, but also in the forging of a lifelong friendship between you and I.
That's right.
And then the spectacular fall in 2013, which I participated in more than you did.
Yeah.
And
I can't wait to talk about that.
So that'll be me wallowing and you laughing when we get to that part of it. So
it's gonna taste good.
But where do we start with this one?
So I'm gonna let's retell the tale of the lost megalopolis, because it is. So my first ever experience with any SimCity game was the DOS version. But when I played it, I was way too young to even get what was going on. Like, so my grandpa, who is dead, and before he died, was a big piece of shit. So who cares?
make sure that we get that out there.
Who cares about that asshole? But one of the times when he wasn't a big piece of shit, he was an old school engineer based in the Saratoga area. So kind of like the genesis of Silicon Valley. So he was always into computers, like back from when computers filled up entire rooms. But when I was a little kid, my parents gave him a bunch of money, which he then promptly put into a bank. And then he pieced shitty parts of computers that he already owned and gave us a 286. Excuse me. No, it was a 386. And then just like everyone else at the time, just a huge shoebox full of pirated discs. So we had like your print shops, your word processors, and of course, the game.
Print shop.
Oh, ooh. Fuck yeah, pal.
You just triggered me.
I can't tell you how many fucking beautiful ribbon birthday banners I've been a part of.
Clip art.
That's the best. Just the best. But so in this big box of fucking pirated software was a bunch of games, and SimCity was among one of the first ones I grabbed because I didn't know what the word sim meant.
Yeah.
I knew what the word city meant. And I thought it was going to be like kind of like Final Fight. Like I was going to go. Maybe it was a misspelling of the word sin. And it was going to be like Sin City. And I'm going to go around. I'm going to clean the fucking streets.
You didn't know sin, but at that age, you knew sin.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
A parable for your life.
Yeah. And I think I was seven. I want to say 7 years old. Maybe six.
Yeah.
So anyway, play that game. And by play, I mean I stared at and blinked. Like a cartoon character.
At terrain.
Yeah. Because I just had no fucking idea what to do. So then after that, fast forward a couple years, and we're talking 93, 94. You had waltzed into my life. You were a friend of my older sister. We found out pretty early on that you and I had a lot more in common.
We were the kindred spirits there.
Yeah. I mean, whereas you and my sister had Wilson Phillips in common.
Oh, well, don't stop there, bro.
Oh, I wouldn't.
John Cicada.
Who was Tevin Campbell?
Sarah McLachlan.
Oh boy.
There's not, oh, Melissa Etheridge.
Well, of course, Melissa Etheridge. Jesus yes. Christ. So whereas you enjoyed,
you said Devin Campbell.
I did. I said Devin Campbell. So whereas you enjoyed
Babyface. Sorry.
Genuine.
Everyone listening right now is just staring blankly. Yep. Like, what the hell?
He's kind of like I was when I played SimCity as a kid. So it all ties together. So whereas you and my sister had girls' music in common, you and I had video games in common.
Right.
And you, I don't remember, and maybe you can fill this in, but I, at some point, either you had, we had talked about SimCity, and maybe you said, like, you suggested that I borrow it, or you had mentioned that you had it and I wanted to borrow it because I was a little older and now I can understand what it was. And by that point, before playing the Super Nintendo SimCity, which I will go on record this time and many other times in this podcast as the best SimCity game ever made, bar any. I'm standing behind that firmly.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually.
It is right. But we can dive into why it's the best SimCity of all time in a little bit. So by this point, I had ActRaiser for Super Nintendo was like well established as like one of my favorite, and my sister too. It was like one of our favorite Super Nintendo games, and a big component of that game is the city building. But when you put that next to actual SimCity, it's like, you know, it's like yeah. playing with fucking Duplo, and then playing right. like building like a 4,000 piece like Millennium yeah. Falcon or something. So anyway, you and I get on this this deal, and whatever, however it happens, but I end up borrowing your SimCity. Now, again, this is 25 years ago. So I borrow it. And on that cartridge, there's two save spaces. You can save two of your cities.
Yes.
And one city, if I recall correctly, had like a population of like 50,000, which if you're familiar with Super Nintendo SimCity, you can get a population. If you know what you're doing, even if you don't know what you're doing, but if you like if you're okay at the game, you can get 50,000 in less than an hour. Easy.
Oh, sure.
But then your other city had like, I don't know, like 500,000. Like
definitely.
It was a megalopolis.
Right. So you had a lot of, you could load that save
right.
and see what basically the end game looks like.
Yes. Exactly right. And you also had, before you continue on, in the dab smack in the middle of your megalopolis was the Mario statue
that yes. you get. And to the extent, I mean, these are sandbox games, so there really is no end, but
right.
to the extent that you could have an end,
that was the end. That was your you beat right. this game trophy.
Now I want to set this up a little bit because I want you to know what it meant for me to have that megalopolis.
Please do because this is going to make the payoff feel better.
So I was first introduced to SimCity. That it came out Christmas '91. I got a Super Nintendo the first Christmas it was out, and one friend of mine also had a Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And I got Mario World and the very first ever John Madden football game. Mm-hmm. And my friend got Mario World and SimCity. And he read the manual and he said, oh, it really means Simulated City, and SimCity for short. So I thought I would be cool and call the game Simulated City.
Oh, fuck yeah, you did.
Because I was 11.
Yep.
And that's how
I
rolled.
And you already like 25 cent words.
That's right. You know, the bar appreciated my knowledge of 25.
Certainly, your vernacular was right. exquisite.
So me and Simulated City started a relationship with my friend. But then me and that friend kind of grew apart a little bit, and then mm-hmm. he moved away. And I really wanted that game. I used to think about, you know, like you'd think about video games or you're going to bed at night.
Oh, for
like
sure, yeah.
In the pre-girl days.
Yes.
And I would just imagine building like two towers rising up and then merging together to form the C-tops and the R-tops. And so I went around hustling in my neighborhood and sold every 8-bit Nintendo game that I still had to get the $60 that I needed to buy SimCity.
That's a dance as old as time, friend, and a bad dance at that.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the games that I sold. But
real quick, if I'll jump in here, I sold all of my Super Nintendo games, including Final Fantasy III, II, and Chrono Trigger. All of them, including the Super Nintendo, sold to the incomparable on this show, Radical Video Games in Lake Elsinore.
Oh my.
Sold them all so that I could buy Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter,
that
for
one
N64.
Game.
Yeah. And do I regret it? Oh yeah. I regretted it pretty much the week after I beat Turok, but it is what it is.
The Radical Video Games for a certain segment of the population was the go-to store in the Inland Empire area.
The people know. The people know. We talk about Radical all the time.
Until Best Buy came out and they were out of business in the
Walmart. Year. Walmart did it.
Yeah, well, yeah, Best Buy and Walmart. So, all right, so I got SimCity, and then I didn't need any other games. I didn't leave the house for a week.
Right.
I just played it. I couldn't play enough of it. It was amazing. We'll get to the merits of why it was amazing in a minute. But I was, I think, roughly exactly 12 years old when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I played the game and could never get a Megalopolis until it took me almost 2 years, I think. I think I was 13 or 14 by the time that that happened.
Oh, these tears are getting saltier.
And then when it finally did happen, it was really a moment because you're playing the game, you see 499,000, and then it ticks up to 500,000. And this is pre-internet days. Like a lot of the stories we tell, like things were so much better when you couldn't be spoiled with the internet.
Absolutely. Well, many things were better without the internet.
And I remember thinking like, man, I wonder what the music is going to be like. Because every time you got a new city, you got a new musical track
right,
with
that's
it.
That's right.
And I was like, oh my, the Megalopolis music, it's going to happen. And I get the Mario statue and like, what's going to be like? Got it. And put the Mario statue in. It was just like my life was complete. Mm-hmm. And I remember distinctly thinking, like, I've done everything I need to do on this planet.
You have accomplished the highest form. That's
right. I don't think I need to graduate high school or go to college or anything. I got a Megalopolis. I'll just staple that to my resume, and I should be good from here on.
You're
out.
You're hired,
right? And so anyway, so at that point, since I'd done everything I needed to do, the game kind of fell out of favor a little bit. Mario Kart, I started playing that a lot more, and these other Final Fantasy III, and then you came into my life. And, you know, wanting to share this wonderful work of art, I lent you the game. And the whole time I was thinking, this is going to be really cool. Brian's going to he'll get to play the game himself. But unlike me, where I had to wait 2 years to see what the end game looked like, he will have access to it right then and there.
Sure will.
And that is the access that I gave you. And how did that go?
Okay, so like I said, the other save was like 50,000, and I wanted to save my city. My little plucky upstart, Wank City, I believe I called it.
Right, population 3,000.
Yeah, population 3,000, barely a town. I saved over the Megalopolis save.
Yeah.
Saved right the fuck over it.
Yeah, 2 years of work, dreams crushed.
Yeah. And so what happened was, now at the time, you're 4 years older than me. So at the time, you were already like a young teenager. And I was, I think, in fifth grade, I want to say.
Right.
So
I'm approximately 14. You're approximately 10.
That's right. So you could have, you easily could have beaten me up. But you didn't.
Yeah. Maybe the last year that was possible.
I think so. But you did. I remember you gave me a swift kick to the butt, which I thought, to be totally fair, that punishment and crime, they linked right up. Because it was a shitty thing for me to do. And I can't sit here and tell you that I did it, I didn't do it maliciously on purpose, but I definitely didn't put enough thought into it as to what I was doing. I figured you wouldn't give a shit.
I remember you not caring when I told you, you asshole.
Well, no, because here's what, okay. I tried, once I realized what I had done, I tried to repair the damage by doing the money code and making another Megalopolis close to what you had as much as I could based on the fucking memory that I had. And it wasn't the same at all. And you knew immediately that it wasn't the same at all.
I don't know. Well, first of all, it wasn't a Megalopolis.
You're right. It wasn't a Megalopolis, but I was using the free land. That's the that's the crosswire. I tried to do a new giant city using the money cheat code on the free land where there's no water, no nothing. It's just a big open brown flank of land. And I was nowhere near Megalopolis. You're right. But I was somewhere like 100,000, 150, something like that.
Yeah, only a fifth of the way there.
Yeah, only a fifth of the way there. Only a solid fifth of the way there. But yeah, it's something that you and I, like we said, I told that fucking story. Because here's the thing. I mean, you can't see us. This is an audio podcast. I continued to grow. And now the image of you kicking me in the butt is much funnier now.
Well, for 2 years, you're lucky you got off that one. two years of work down the drain, you got a kick in the butt. It wasn't even a kick in the balls.
That's right. And I quite frankly deserved a kick in the balls. And it would be totally fair to do so because we were both,
I'm just going to wait for your back to fully go out and then you're going to get another kick in the butt.
Get the other cheek.
Have your comeuppance.
I gotcha.
Now we're even.
So once the hatred and the fire subsided.
And that was, it was 25 fucking
25
years ago.
Fucking years ago, it sure was. Well, no, it's great. You and I, we have been friends. And this is right here, right now, in public, we can say this.
Yeah,
we have been friends for 25 fucking years.
Crazy.
It is crazy. I don't have, I don't know anyone else that has that claim. My fucking family is basically it. So congratulations to us.
Yeah, to us.
We've made it to 25 fucking years.
Yeah.
So
a silver anniversary.
It is. It really is. We should probably go buy Taco Bell for each other after this. celebrate. But that was how you and I, that was the first of many SimCity related interactions that we would have over the years. But since that one, that SimCity, the Super Nintendo one, kind of was, I think, the most influential one, certainly on me, speaking personally. It has to be the same for you, right?
Oh, no doubt. And I would pick it up years afterwards.
Me too.
To try to make Megalopolises.
You'll never get there. It's never going to happen.
What does that music sound like?
You'll never know. And I break into your home and delete YouTube on every device you have. So you'll never see it.
You just have to wonder, right?
I'll tell you. It sounds good. I heard it. It was good. Then I deleted it.
This sounds great. Click, click, delete.
Are you familiar with Phil Collins' old stuff when Genesis was working on quadraphonic?
Yeah, quadraphonic MIDI synthesizer. Yeah.
But that game, like, it does differ greatly from the original DOS and original Mac versions of SimCity in a number of ways. But I think the biggest thing that it deviates from is the fact that it has the Nintendo touch that the other games didn't. So obviously Maxis worked on this game because it's their fucking game, but Nintendo actually did the majority of putting together SimCity Super Nintendo. So
was it a first party title?
It was. Nintendo worked on that game. Like they had, so Will Wright, who maybe, well, aside from Lord British, Will Wright might be the first ever like iconic quote unquote celebrity designer that there's ever been.
Yeah. I mean, Miyamoto was.
Yeah. But Miyamoto wasn't like a thing that like, obviously people knew who he was, but that was more like deep into like the Nintendo Power era. So like we're talking like mid 90s.
That's true.
But Will, like Lord British, of course, known for his Ultima games.
Yeah.
And known for putting his name on his fucking games and making sure that was...
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it's a way to do it. But Lord British was also a character in the Ultima games, and so was Mr. Wright in this version.
Yes.
Mr. Wright, who is adorable and looks like fucking Will Wright, but with more exaggerated features.
Yeah, green hair.
Green hair is another factor, yes. That was not a thing in the original SimCity. So SimCity Super Nintendo added, like, by Nintendo magic, levels of charm... this whole Mr. Wright character that's there to help you every way.
Just when you turn it on, right, and it shows a cityscape, mm-hmm. right, and it's like, and it says Sim City, and it shows like stars out there, and it just, as much as a 8-bit or a 16-bit game can, it just pulls you in.
Oh
like,
yeah,
the sound and the look, and it's like, oh, this is so like awesome sounding. Like, it's peaceful, but it's like it's just a cool tune. And then you see the city. It's like, I want to make that. I want to be the god, the engineer of this city. And that's just, you don't even touch anything. That's just when you push the power
you
button.
Slide you, it up and here
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, you get that. And it's just fucking great. It's great. So it starts there and then gets better.
And you mentioned the music. And we are just going to be jumping around all over the place because no notes on this one. We're flying by the
don't need them.
Don't need them. SimCity. We're flying by the seat of our pants. We would need them when we talk about 3 and 4, but fuck it. We'll get there when we get there because I think that's kind of important to the story is our interaction or lack thereof of those games. But with SimCity Super Nintendo, as you mentioned, like all the atmosphere and the music and all that stuff, like there wasn't even another launch title that came close. Like obviously Mario World, but Mario World is such a drastically different thing.
Yeah.
And especially in the music department, like to this day, I will put on SimCity just to listen to the tunes.
Yeah. When you make a town or a village, you know, the sweet little serenading.
Yeah.
That, do, do, do. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's right.
It, all that shit's burned in my head. Or like when you first click over into, I think it's when you become a city officially, and the music becomes like this kind of driving, like urgent sounding thing.
No,
like,
Metropolis.
Yeah, it's Metropolis.
Do 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 do.
Yep.
Do do.
It's so cool. The way that they guide you through the whole experience of making a city and like. Very lightly applying pressure, for lack of a better term, using the music and stuff like that. And of course, like the different issues that your city faces change the bigger that they get, more population, more crime, more all that, more traffic, all that stuff changes as your cities
and the way you have to, you're required to respond to that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing that we'll be talking about the original SimCity here for a little while, but to me, SimCity and Super Nintendo SimCity are the exact same game in theory, or on paper if you'd rather, but in execution they're vastly different. To me, the original SimCity, like, it's, you know, it's incredible in terms of like what it did as a pioneering work,
right.
But I would 10 times out of 10 rather play Super Nintendo one for all these things that we're talking about, like all the charm, all the like additional things that Nintendo put in there, like just being able to like think about this for a second. So you are building a city before the Super Nintendo mouse is out. Like, yeah. That game needed to be Mario Paint was what it was for us creative minded people.
I couldn't even use the mouse correctly.
Yeah, I know. So. We talked about that in another episode. So. But I mean, like, if the Super Nintendo mouse could have easily have launched with SimCity, and the fact that it didn't, and the fact that they made it completely controllable using a Super Nintendo controller is something that, like, the credit needs to be placed in there. Because there's games that are still coming out today on consoles that are PC-centric, like Tropico is a good example. That, you know, there's Tropico games that come out on Xbox and PS4. And when you have to play those games with a controller, they aren't nearly as good as
they weren't designed for it.
Designed for it. SimCity Super Nintendo was 100% designed to play with that controller, and it feels that way.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing that I want to talk about with the original SimCity is I don't ever remember playing that game in full screen. I only remember seeing that game in a window. Like, I don't think you could play it in full screen.
Oh, on the PC version?
Yeah, the DOS version.
Gosh, it's so hard for me to remember, but yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so that's another thing that they fucking fixed is like, hey, we're making a big ass city. Let's fill up a screen.
You know, it felt like the PC version was a revolution.
Yeah.
Because that genre did not exist, and then SimCity comes out, and now it exists.
Right.
And we talked about in the last podcast.
Sorry to cut you up, but SimCity, I just want to be clear, it does predate Populous, right?
We actually looked this up on a prior podcast, mm-hmm. and they actually came out the exact same.
That's right. But what's funny, like, they are, so on the surface, they look very similar, but when you really get into it, like, they're vastly different.
Yeah, and they're both great, but I think history has been kinder to SimCity than it has been.
And I think SimCity is also overall probably more influential than Populous is.
Yeah, yeah. So, the PC version was a revolution, and it felt like the Super Nintendo was an evolution of the PC version.
Yes.
But it was an evolution that perfected the revolution, because a lot of people like me, I never played the PC version. I went back and checked it out later on just to sort of see.
Yeah.
But my first experience with that game, with that genre, was the Super Nintendo version. So for me, it was a perfect revolution, basically.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing like it before. And then it did all these little things that the PC game didn't do that just added the extra layers to draw you in even more. And then all of a sudden, you're playing the game, talked about the music, talked about the overall aesthetic. The fascination of watching your city grow, watching different areas grow better than other areas. The first time that you had a residential tower created, the two things grow up and then they merge together.
Connect.
Yeah. And, getting all the little gifts that you would get randomly. It's like, have an amusement park.
Not in the DOS version.
All
those bonus little tchotchke present things that you get. And like, so they're basically like achievements. When you get a certain level of population, like the first thing you get is your mayor's house.
Yes.
And it's like this like cute little mansion-esque thing that you can put next to. I would always put it like, you know, very clearly in the center of the town, because that's where all the action is.
Yeah.
So there were achievements, like there were milestones. When you got to a certain population, you got access to a gift. There was like a zoo. There's the house that we mentioned. There's an amusement park, so on and so forth.
A great, great park. You could get an expo center, something like that.
There's a gold Mario statue that you get if you achieved like probably the most difficult thing you can do in video games, which is making a Megalopolis hardest thing you've ever done?
I mean, yes. Should still be there.
Should. It should. But it's not. It's not. That's another thing that like the Super Nintendo version has over the PC one. And also just in games in general, like that idea of having these milestones. Really, the only place you were going to find that would be like leveling up in an RPG. And I don't even think Final Fantasy II was out yet when SimCity first came out.
It couldn't have been, because SimCity was basically a launch title.
Yeah.
It certainly launched within a few months.
Yeah, within the window.
The console.
It came out that, you got that, or I want to say it came out that Christmas.
It was definitely available that Christmas.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and the system launched, I think, in the fall.
And right? Final Fantasy II is in 1992, so yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, in terms of just like playing a game where you feel like you are progressing and you're building up,
mm-hmm.
like SimCity was kind of the only dog in town.
Yeah, the other launch titles were like Pilot Wings and, you know, Mario is like a really good platformer, but you'd seen that before. You'd never seen SimCity.
Right.
And then and the way that they kind of layer milestones in there, like the first time you build an airport in the game, that you could theoretically do that in the first minute of the game with the money code. It's always there. But if you play the game organically, when you actually build it, it feels like a real achievement.
Well, and the game like prompts you through Mr. Wright to be like, you have X amount of people living there. You might want to think about a shipping port or an airport.
Yeah, now it's time to do that.
Yeah, and if you don't listen to his advice, a lot of times you get jammed up.
Yeah. And it's $10,000, so it's hard to listen to his. Sometimes you just don't have the money.
Right, right.
But you know, once you plop it down, you see the little airplane take off, and then it flies all around your mm-hmm. town, and it really feels like you did something.
Yeah.
You know, and the first time you build a stadium.
Yeah, I was just gonna say at the football stadium.
Yeah, same
thing.
When
you plunk it down, and you hear the cheers from the
Yay!
Crowd. So cool,
right? So you get that. So the game has these sort of organic milestones that are built into it mm-hmm. that you do certain things, and then you get this little payoff. So the amusement park and all the rewards are one thing, but then also just being able to building a nuclear power plant versus a coal power plant, you know, is a nuclear so much more expensive, but it's so much cleaner as well.
Yeah.
And so
I never fucked around with coal. I mean, it just never happened. Cause like you do it once and you realize, okay, this is a shit show.
Yeah.
And then when you start a city, you got to commit to the nukes. You have to, or else you're not going to get anywhere. I want to ask you specifically about, the donut structure, if you catch what I'm tossing. Did you figure that out on your own, or was that a Nintendo Power help out?
Nintendo Power help out.
Okay.
And I used that as my exclusive build model until I forgot how I found out that there was a slightly more efficient way
mm-hmm.
where you can kind of cut corners, and you basically need to get to 500,000 people.
Right.
But the donut structure was like 18 months to 2 years at least of my build strategy.
So when I first started playing the game, after you had graciously lent it to me, and I would not let you down.
Right.
But I would just like, I think everyone else, just like put a residential block here, then a space for either a road or a train track, and then so on and so forth. And then you don't realize how much fucking real estate you're just gobbling up and doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I think you, by way of Nintendo Power, taught me, like, no, do this donut thing.
Well, whatever I could do to help you, Brian.
Right. You wanted to help me and give me a better experience in this game that you graciously let me.
Yes.
And I would make sure to take care of.
That's right.
In my care.
Gratitude and appreciation. Return the product. And
in a better condition.
The same condition.
Same or better. Yeah. But that was a big change up for me. And to the point where, even to this day, if I go into playing we'll talk about City Skylines later on, but just my brain is so hardwired into this, like making stuff in the donut pattern.
Right.
And what's funny is like it doesn't work anymore, but I still do it. I still do it because it's just tattooed into my head.
Like that's the thing that you need to do.
The other thing I wanted to talk about before we move off of Super Nintendo SimCity is that money code. Did you? What's your relationship with that money code?
Another Nintendo Power.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you gift
yes.
for my subscription. And what I actually found out about that was that the trick is when the year ends and you go to the tax screen and then you click off the tax screen, you hold the L button, I believe, on the controller.
Yeah.
And it creates this weird pause of sorts. And if you go in and then if you go back into the tax screen while you're holding in the L button and then you adjust some money variables there.
So it's you change everything, the funding, to 100%. So police, traffic, and fire, all that is 100%. And then you raise the taxes all the way up to 100%.
Yeah, and what I found out, that's the way that the code is described. What I found out is you don't actually have to do that. If I remember this correctly, and I'm going back about 20 years, so, but I think this is correct. You just have to set it up so that you will have negative money when you go back to that tax screen.
Right.
And the game, unable to give you negative money, gives you 999999 once you exit out of it
let
go of the L button. And I'm not sure if I ever found out definitively if it's a glitch or an actual code.
Right.
But whatever whatever it is, it gives you $1 million. And then once you get that, what that helped me with is that before I knew about that code, I would set my city up and then go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And then just leave my city there on to just generate
to grow.
Money.
Yeah.
And so then I wake up in the morning and you're in the year like 2,315 or whatever. And then you've got a whole bunch of money if you've been running your tax revenue right. The problem though is that sometimes while you're sleeping, a plane would crash.
And your whole city burns.
And your
to
whole
the ground.
City burns to the yeah. ground. And so you turn on your TV and there's just like ashes there. That's and everybody's so cool. miserable and your population is like 4. And you're like, what the hell happened? So once you got the money code, you didn't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, for me, the money code, what I love to do with it is I'd whip up a city, try to get it, you know, as populated as I could, and then start playing with the disasters. Okay. Like, it was so much fun.
See, again, a philosophical difference between you and I hated the disasters.
Yeah.
Why would you want to destroy something?
Because you could imagine this. You could save your city and then use a disaster to destroy it and then reload the city.
Well,
and
I couldn't save my cities because I always ran the risk of you saving over them.
That's true. So. You got really paranoid and scared of that whole thing. Another cool little Super Nintendo touch is, so in the DOS version, there's like a Godzilla, like a Godzilla knockoff. And of course, the Super Nintendo version, they turned it into Bowser. Which, you know, again, it's a Nintendo magic.
I think there were 6 disasters, if I remember right. So
earthquake,
Bowser was one, yeah. Earthquake.
Tornado,
nuclear meltdown.
I think a nuclear meltdown.
And
then the airplane crash, which you talked about.
Was there a UFO thing in that one?
Yes.
Okay, I guess that'd be the 6th.
That would be the other one. Yeah. But yeah, that was those were always fun to fuck around with. I really appreciated it. Quick piece of trivia. You've played Link's Awakening, right?
Of course. No, that's...
It's the Game Boy one that was recently re-released for Switch.
I own it.
Okay.
Luigi's Mansion got to me before I could play Link's Awakening.
Oh, got it.
It's in the queue.
So this isn't really spoilers because Link's Awakening originally came out 26 years ago. So, you know, fuck you. I'm just going to say it. But
fair enough.
Mr. Right is in that game.
Oh.
And it's the only other, with the exception of like Smash Brothers cameos where he is... I think in the Smash Brothers for the Wii, he was an assist trophy, and then he's just been like general trophies in the other ones. So like a cool 3D model you can look around with a little description. That was always a kind of a tongue-in-cheek nod towards the real Will Wright. Yeah. But in Link's Awakening, he's like a actual like NPC character that you talk to, and he looks exactly like, you know, the fucking cute green-haired wunderkind that we all know of. Will Wright is a really fascinating dude. He wrote SimCity, I think, when he was still a teenager. And then went on, obviously, to found Maxis and make a fucking shit ton of money. And then after he did Spore, that's kind of when he, like, backed away from games industry and decided to become, like, a hobbyist rocket engineer like they all do. It's like him and Carmack John are just Carmack, like, yeah, we're going to go to space, brother.
Yeah. What's the next frontier?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Conquered video games.
Gotta go to space.
Yeah, Mars is next.
Go make Doom. Play it in space.
Right.
But he's an interesting guy. And I think that... We're kind of lacking that type of personality now. Like it doesn't really exist in the games industry anymore.
Well, that's so true because when we were coming of age, you could have personalities like him where they would make a product and then there would be an announcement of the next product from them. And it wouldn't just be a sequel. It'd be a different game.
The whole thing.
And even though we did an entire episode where we did nothing but shit on Peter Molyneux,
yeah.
He was also
he was
sort
in
of,
that camp
of
too,
this group where it's like, oh, Peter Molyneux's now working on this.
Well, he was someone to follow.
Yeah, and you'd want to be aware of that that other thing. And so when it was announced that Will Wright was doing The Sims, and that was going to be like a human version of SimCity, then people were really interested in that. And then that of course, ended up probably... earning 10 times the money that's all the SimCities ever made.
The original Sims coming out in 99, if I remember correctly, 99 or 2000, was like, you can't understate the casual phenomenon of that game.
I believe it is still on, certainly in the top 3 of most bought PC games.
Yeah,
or most revenue.
There was a point in time where like you know how like the cliche was, you know, your grandma plays Wii Sports.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, your fucking grandma played The Sims 6 years before that.
Yes.
And it was huge, which is crazy to think, and we'll get into this when we talk about the final SimCity, but like the company that made that game doesn't exist anymore, which is mind-boggling. It's like saying Rockstar Games, you know, after making a Grand Theft Auto, went away. Like, it's unheard of. It just doesn't fucking happen.
The list I see here has it as number 5 all time, even for a game that came out in 2000.
Yeah.
In terms of sales.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah. But before we get to The Sims, there's, and actually even before we get to the next SimCity game, SimCity 2000, there's a little thing called SimAnt. Did you play that one at all?
Did play SimAnt. Well, I didn't own it, but I rented it. Mm-hmm. And again, on paper, it sounded right in my wheelhouse. Yeah. Like, I always wanted to have an ant farm. Couldn't really pull it off. I tried several times. I actually had the ant farm, and then I would like go out in my front yard, try to collect ants, and put them in the farm. Mm-hmm. And they would just end up dying.
Of course, yeah.
It's like, what are we doing here? What am I doing wrong?
So let's try this in video game format.
Yeah, playing God in video games is a lot easier than playing God in real life.
For sure.
And so I got SimAnt. And you know, the thing about it is that it was a perfectly functional game. Mm-hmm. It did the thing that they advertised for it to do. But all that Nintendo stuff, all that little polish that you talked about.
Yeah.
It's just missing with SimAnt.
Oh, yeah.
That extra 10% of, like, you turn it on and you hear a certain music or you see a certain art aesthetic.
Or it just feels a certain way.
It wasn't there. It played okay to good. It was like a 6.5 to 7 out of 10. It was just missing that charm part. And I don't know if Maxis or Will Wright had anything directly to do with that.
For sure. That was a Maxis game.
Okay.
I had the boxed PC version, the Windows version, I believe, Windows 3.1. Because by the time that game came out, I was already a SimCity fan.
Yeah.
So I remember buying that, and I was massively disappointed. Like you, I thought the idea was cool. Like the idea of like, because it wasn't not just were you like raising an ant colony, but like on the back of the box, I remember specifically there was like this big fucking like spider that you had. It looked like you had to like fight it. Like,
yeah, they're like threats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was, it just never clicked for me. And it was a game that I tried and tried to play. But for whatever reason, like I would always lose interest in it. It might've been, because I was a fucking kid with a kid's attention span, but it's one of those games that I've always wanted to go back to play. And obviously it'd be super easy to do. I'm sure you can get SimAnt on like GOG or something like that.
Yeah.
But I've just never gotten around to it. And I really want to, because I want to see if it clicks this time. It may, because I'm, you know, wishful thinking. I really want it to, because it is such a weird, quirky, like Brian kind of a game, for lack of a better term.
I remember it didn't have a lot of the variety of SimCity. Like, remember, SimCity had its own, it had 1,000 maps in it. And I remember specifically clicking through and just picking random numbers, like 584, and like, what does this one look like?
Right.
And how much water is there? And all the rest of it. And like that felt different. You know, you would always try to make a different city. Some of them had little islands, and I'd try to build residential areas on the islands. And
for sure.
See if the property values were bigger. And yeah, SimAnt came along, and it just didn't have, it was missing very key ingredients.
We agree 100%. But I do intend one day to go back and go with it with my adult hands and see if I can't fucking have a good time.
And there was a Sim explosion of games after SimCity, because
there,
obviously we'll talk about SimCity 2000 in a second, but there's SimAnt, there's SimCopter, I think, and SimTower.
Well, so Copter and Tower all come after 2000.
Were they expansions or?
SimCopter is. SimTower is its own beast. Sim, for as popular as SimCity was, and it was pretty big for computer,
mm-hmm.
arguably, depending on who you ask, bigger still on Super Nintendo, because that was a game that it got into the whatever it was called, the Greatest Hits Collection.
Yeah.
Whenever, and Nintendo always does this, but you know, they make like the cheaper versions of their games that sell a lot of copies. So SimCity made that list. That's how I would later go. I would buy it much later because I saw it at a Walmart for like $19.99. So I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to buy this fucking game. But SimCity 2000, I think, is where business really picked up. That was a huge game. It was a huge game on Mac and PC.
Yeah.
It was never that big of a game on console, although it was released on fucking everything.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like I was on PlayStation. It was on Saturn. Even Super. The one I played the most was the Super Nintendo version, which is funny because that game sucks. Like,
yeah.
It's like a really shitty version.
Yeah, I played the PC version mostly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of missing the charm. A little more micromanagement than I liked. Also, you've got to deal with...
you got to deal with water systems.
Well, yeah, people say water is the first thing.
Well, because... And that one, that's just... So if you took out water from SimCity 2000, I think you'd have like a 20 to 30% better time.
Well, first of all, water was in every version of the game after, starting with 2000
right.
and then onwards. And I guess the expectations change as the series would evolve. But I do remember it being a huge pain in the ass the first time I tried to.
Because it didn't, the way it worked, didn't really make sense. Like you would think like, okay, well, I have this huge like section of residential, right? And because you're not placing the big blocks at a time. Now, if you've never played SimCity 2000, you basically have like a grid. It's like a grid-based thing, and it's an isometric view, which that in and of itself is kind of shitty because like it's so easy to get lost in an isometric view. That's why they don't make fucking isometric games anymore.
Right.
But so you would have to like drag and drop across a grid and like fill up a whole section of whatever it is that you're building, residential, commercial, or industrial. And then you would have to install like a water propellant thing, like a water tower or like a water plant next to a body of water, and then pipe in using a different view now where like all of the top elements go away and now you're looking at like this grid-based thing, which is all very confusing and quite frankly kind of an eyesore, and then drag the water lines from wherever your water source is then underneath the section. But you would think like, okay, I'm thinking of a city, like all this whole big chunk of red is all going to be like a neighborhood, so I need to like go crisscross applesauce with water. No, you don't need to do that. Turns out it's a giant fucking waste of time and money if you do that, and all you need to do is run one line through your section, and then that's it. But of course, the game doesn't really tell you that. And like, I wasted a lot of time and money fucking just on the water alone. And that shit kind of, to me, that's my biggest criticism of, in the isometric view, I'm not a fan of. But those are the two big ones with water edging it out. I just don't see it as like it didn't add anything to the game other than like an additional step. So if anything, it just added unnecessary tedium.
Very telling that you and I did not rehearse that. And when we said our first complaint was SimCity 2000, we both said water at the exact same time.
Because look at it. It sucked. I will say playing it on the Super Nintendo. So first of all, if you've never played it on the Super Nintendo, don't. But if you do, one of the things you have to like fight the game with is the control. So again, isometric view, that's a whole world of control problems right there. But then it has this really bad lag where like if you push up on the D-pad like a full second later, the cursor goes up. It's like one of those kind of deals.
Oh, God.
Like if you've played Doom on Super Nintendo, same deal.
Yeah.
Just unacceptable. Mortal Kombat 1 on the Super Nintendo.
No, that was the worst.
I don't understand how that seemed to happen on Super Nintendo, but it fucking sure did. And I am speaking as a tried and true Super Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah. The first party stuff was spot on, but the third party
hit or miss.
Yeah.
Very hit or miss.
Yeah.
Over there in that other neighborhood, that Sega neighborhood, if you wanted Twitch action and Twitch control, well, they're never gonna let you down. And they never did.
Yeah.
But the other cool thing about SimCity 2000 specifically on Super Nintendo is, so in general, SimCity 2000 I thought had some fucking banging ass tunes, like really good music. And because the Super Nintendo sound chip is what it was and has that very distinct sound, I thought that the SimCity 2000 music sounded excellent coming out of the Super Nintendo. So that, if nothing else,
it's got
that cool music. And for nowadays, you can just go on YouTube and listen to it.
Yeah.
And maybe I will put it in the show right here. We clearly now agree that SimCity 2000 has the water issue, but where else do you land on that game?
I liked the ambition of it. You could see, this is a thing I actually hate in video games now, but at the time, they took what worked and they're like, well, we'll just do more of it.
Yep.
So more systems, bigger populations, and sometimes that works. I'll give you an example. I think I might be in the minority here, but you and I have talked about this before. In the Batman Arkham games, like Batman Arkham Asylum is, in my opinion, a perfect game and one of the best licensed games ever made.
If not the best, yeah.
Right. And then Arkham City comes out, and it's like it takes what Arkham Asylum did and it just blows it up like times 100.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
Me neither.
It It turned something that was kind of cool, like the Riddler trophies.
Yeah.
Right, and there was like 25 of them or something.
No, there was enough Riddler trophies in Arkham Asylum to where like it felt like it's like collecting the 121 stars in Mario 64. Like it's going to take you more than a weekend to do that.
But definitely,
it's not going to be completely fucking overwhelming like how Arkham City was.
Yeah, where it's like 500.
Yeah,
or something.
It was insane.
Yeah, and so there's that, and so if you're just adding more, that's not necessarily better.
Right.
And SimCity 2000 had some of that. And the water, I mean, we keep going back to this, but the water thing is sort of a good example of that. It's like, oh, here's another system. In the original SimCity, you only had to worry about electricity and train tracks, but now you've got water on top of that. And it just felt micromanagement-y.
And but in a clunky, well, not like there is like a good form of micromanagement, but yeah, I mean, like, right? To say specifically, like, it just feels like I don't want to say tacked on, because that's not true. They clearly spent their time like figuring out a way to implement that, but it just feels so unnecessary to having a good time.
It gives you extra work to do,
yes,
without an emotional payoff for having done it.
That's exactly right.
A positive emotional payoff.
Right.
Gives you a negative emotional payoff.
I don't want to do this. Yeah, I'm going to play the Super Nintendo SimCity now.
So that was my problem. That and then and I'm going to repeat this a lot, I guess, but the lack of charm.
Yeah.
And the
very clinical feeling.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sharp edges. Yep. Like very. Yeah. Sterile sort of.
One of the cool things about it, though, that you can't take away from it is how you would see your city change over time, and to the point where like eventually it becomes like futuristic. And there was like different scenarios that you could pick where you could like start building in the future and stuff like that.
Right.
And that was cool.
That was really awesome. Yeah. And then I think I think this was the version where, if crime increased in the area, there would be like graffiti on the buildings.
Yes, yeah.
So that was, those little aesthetic touches were kind of nice.
It was neat. It was really neat.
So I have those positive. Oh, and I think one of the disasters you could do was maybe a tidal wave in that one.
That sounds about right.
Okay. I mean, it might have been a later one, but it also could have been that one.
Well, I mean, actually, now that you mention it, I think flooding is, I think is what it was. It was flooding.
Okay. So, you know, it's not without its charm.
Yeah.
But it's not, if you look at like what SimCity was,
right?
You know, like nothing existed and then SimCity existed. That's a revolution. SimCity 2000, not as good as SimCity, SimCity 1, I guess, was.
Yeah.
And definitely not a revolution of anything.
But here's what's crazy. And you and I think, are in damn near 100% agreement on what we're talking about. Like, clearly, SimCity, of the two, the original SimCity is, and particularly obviously the Super Nintendo one, that's the sweet money.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems, especially back then, that SimCity 2000 was the fan favorite. Like that was, and that was definitely the one, looking back at just the trajectory of Maxis, that's the one that had the popularity.
I don't know if it's the critical favorite. It was certainly the commercial success,
because
it was on everything. But it was particularly successful on PC.
On PC, yeah.
It seemed like everybody had it, and it seemed like if I had to take a poll, more people had spent more time on that game than the original SimCity.
Well, and that's certainly if nothing else, that's the appearance of how shit went down.
Yeah.
And now we're here talking about all these years later, and like I kind of don't get it.
Well, I get it the way that the Phantom Menace was like made more money than the original Star Wars, even accounting for inflation.
Yeah.
It stood on the shoulder of giants.
Right.
Had SimCity 1 not existed, SimCity 2 probably would have still done well because it would have been the revolution.
Right.
But maybe not as well. But SimCity comes in and it's a revolution. And then this is the sequel to that. And so it's got this built-in marketing apparatus, this built-in momentum for it because it's the next game.
Right.
So I think it's an inferior game, but I can see that the popularity of it existed because it was standing on the shoulders of the game that came before.
Now, I you're probably spot on there. Before we move on to what we're going to call the SimCity black hole
that we both
shared, are you smart to NES SimCity at all?
What?
There we go. Okay, so NES had a version of SimCity that was completed. It was completed by Nintendo, just like Super Nintendo SimCity was, and it was never released. And it has only very recently come out. And there's been several attempts to re-release and repackage it in like a cartridge form, where a lot of these little little companies do this, and it's happened many times, like finding an old lost game and republishing it.
Yeah.
Most recently, this game did come out, but Metal Storm, which is an Irem game, people who played it. And which was not very many because it was released in 91, and most of those early 90s NES games, you know, Super Nintendo is already out, Genesis is already out. Like, people aren't giving a shit.
What was that? We're going to have to do a bird walk because it's such a cool story, and I need you to tell it because you know it better than I do. The Zelda game that was out on X-Band, and it was like a Link's Awakening, not Link's Awakening, Link from the Past sequel.
Sure. Okay, so that thing, what you're talking about is not the X-Band, but the Satellaview. Which was a add-on Japan-only satellite broadcast unit where you would put your Super Famicom on top of it. And this thing was fucking incredible. And luckily, through like video game preservation and stuff like that, we've been able to save a lot of it. But there's things about this particular game and several others, but the Zelda one's the most famous, that you just couldn't preserve. And the fact is, when you played this game, you had a narrator who was live broadcasting the story while you played. So you had to tune in from like 3 to 6 on a weekday and play with him. So like, and this is what I never understood, and what you can't really get. There might be like some like VHS recordings of this out there.
Yeah.
Because it seems like something that someone would have done.
But that we would have done.
Oh, fuck yeah.
In Japan.
But how can you, like, this is how I don't understand how it works. And maybe the listeners out there who know a little bit more about this can smarten me up. But if a bunch of different people are all playing a game at the same time, but you assume that they're playing it at different paces.
You know,
like certainly some players are better than other players. Well, and how is this guy like telling a story that you're all supposed to follow at the same time?
Oh, I assume it's incredibly comical because like some shitty 10-year-olds out there won't be able to beat the creature.
And they're like getting the game spoiled.
Yeah. It's everybody moves on to the other room and it's like, and here you get the big reveal. Yeah. And then the kid's in the first room. He's like, no.
I think you're probably spot on there. But that game was preserved. You can download a ROM. It's called BS, which is funny. It's called BS Zelda. And it is like a pseudo sequel to Link to the Past. And there's a ton of stuff on that thing. There was a special version of F-Zero that never came out on anything else. There's the sequel to fucking Chrono Trigger that came out on that thing only. And that it's not really a game. It's like more of like a visual novel, but still like it's a story that features the characters and a direct continuation of the story of Chrono Trigger.
The Zelda one was so interesting to me because there's at least before the official Hyrule Compendium came out, there was fervent speculation about the Zelda history and the Zelda lore and all this stuff.
The timeline.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I hate that shit.
And there are like 3 Zelda games that are basically lost to time now. The 2 CDI games and then this other thing. I know the CDI games are not canon, but they exist.
They are a thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's this game out there. And if you're somebody like me, you just Zelda was for me like the game of my soul when it very first came out. And now we're over bird walking, but I paid particularly close attention to that.
Sure.
And so the idea that there were like lost games, including a lost Link
that
to
you
the
could
past,
never play.
It was very, very interesting to me when it happened.
Yeah, no, it is cool. And one of these days when you're over to the dojo, I'll pop on BS Zelda on the EverDrive. You can check it out.
Yeah.
And it's all translated in English and everything, the whole deal.
A lot of heroes out there.
Oh, yeah. They do God's work. Not us. We just sit here and eat candy shit.
We enjoy God's work.
Yeah. We just take. So NES SimCity was a thing. It was completed, and the only reason it wasn't released was because, like, why? They're making a Super Nintendo SimCity, so it's kind of redundant.
Wait, so have you seen it? Or are there like
you can see it on, and I want to say that the ROM was dumped, and that if you have a way to either play it in an emulator or pop it on an EverDrive, you can play it. But like I was saying, there's a company, at least one company out there, who is trying to secure the rights to actually release it on like a physical cartridge.
Let's see what YouTube has to say about this.
Let's see.
The lost soundtrack of SimCity NES. SimCity. So it looks like the music is there, but the game isn't. So.
Well, I've also heard that the person who owns this game has owned it for years and has basically been sitting on it for the right price. Like he's willing to dump the game if it hasn't already been dumped.
How much we got?
Not enough. not fucking enough. There's a contingent of like really kind of secretive video game collectors out there that have stuff like this, like prototypes and like one-offs. And it's actually more rare that a game gets dumped than not. So who the fuck knows what's out there?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, the only times these things get dumped, like for example, the original Earthbound, Mother 1, the NES version. The only way that game came out was that, first of all, a prototype was found. And then once it was found, a big group of people pooled their money together to buy it off of the person who owned it. So he was able to sell it for like whatever it was, like $6,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the community that bought it immediately dumped it on the internet and preserved it. So that has or hasn't happened to NES SimCity as of recording date, but that it will soon. At some point it's going to happen. But I do believe, and we can move on after this, but I do believe the character Mr. Right is also in the NES SimCity, which is cool. And the fact that there may be a time where we get to play that game would also be pretty fucking cool. It's probably going to suck. It's probably not going to be great. Not nearly as good as the Super Nintendo
one.
But we can say that we did. So let's go into the black hole. And I think we should talk about why it's the black hole. But I'm talking about SimCity 3000 and SimCity 4. I know why I didn't play these games, and that is that I never had a fucking PC worth of shit until like 2 years ago. But what's your excuse?
SimCity 3, I think it was more timing. I'm going to actually search for SimCity 3 and see when it came out right now.
I want to say it came out in 1999,
so you're pretty close. I think the issue there was just in 1999, I was gaming.
Oh, fuck yeah, you were.
And it was PC gaming,
yep,
too. But I believe the problem there was Baldur's Gate had all my time.
Okay.
Baldur's Gate came out in 1998, I believe, and then Baldur's Gate 2 came out in 2000. And there was other stuff in the middle, and it just kind of fell through a little
Diablo
bit.
Diablo and all that other shit.
Yeah, Diablo 2 came out in 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is also the height of Counter-Strike. I was playing a lot of Counter-Strike on...
Were you ever way into... I know your brother was into Quake, especially modding Quake, but were you ever into Quake?
No, I shouldn't even say I was into Counter-Strike, because I'm not a first-person guy. I'm a strategy guy. That's why we're doing a podcast on SimCity. But you couldn't just, in the circles that I was running in at the time,
you couldn't avoid it.
Yeah. So I played a fair amount of Quake, or I think it was Quake 3 at that time. I think that came out in 1999.
It's funny. All you guys were into the LAN party world. Oh, yeah. And at that time, I was just having the time of my life playing Dreamcast. Just the fucking time of my life.
That was in those 2 years, actually, 99 and 2000, I was like the height of the LAN party era.
Right.
And SimCity was not a LAN party game.
No, it wasn't.
So Crimson Skies was a LAN party game.
Yeah.
how did I forget this? Age of Empires 2 came out in 1999.
That was a giant mover for you.
And StarCraft came out in 1998.
Yep.
So there was just...
There's no way.
Yeah, it just fell through the cracks. Nothing against the game. Maybe it's a good game. Mm-hmm. But I didn't play it because it fell through the cracks. I'm sure I would have liked to have played it.
Yeah, well, for being as big of a SimCity fan as you are, and the fact that you were almost exclusive, if not totally exclusively playing PC games, it is interesting that you would just miss it.
I was let down by SimCity 2000, though.
That's fair. That's
so
very fair.
If SimCity 2000 had lived up to the hype, then maybe SimCity 3 would have been more of an event. But by the time SimCity 3 came out, it had been 9 years since I played SimCity.
Mm-hmm.
I was now almost 20, not 11. And, you could have come to my house and deleted my Megalopolis in SimCity 3, so...
Oh, I certainly would have planned on it.
Again, not worth the risk.
Not worth the risk. It never is. Away. It just never is. So my sister played a little bit of... I watched her play a little bit of 3000. She was way more into 4 when that came out. When 4 came out, we were both in college and we lived together. And I built a computer for us to, write our dumb papers on, but then for her to play The Sims.
Like every other person in college.
Exactly. But so she played a lot of The Sims. I spent my time just, playing MAME and trying to find every fucking obscure arcade game I possibly could. And then she played a lot of SimCity 4. So, I would watch her play a little bit here and there, but I never gave it the time of day until many, many years later. Well, like this year, I think, because you and I had been talking about doing a SimCity podcast. So I downloaded them on a GOG sale. I think they were like, $1.99 a piece or whatever it was. And I have booted them both up, and I have played a little bit of both. And
what'd you think?
So for me, what you just said is spot on. Like 2000 kind of shied you off, and if the reasons why is because it was systems heavy, then that's SimCity 3000. It's like it's like a perfect sequel in that, like, if you liked SimCity 2000, like here's more of SimCity 2000, and it's like much superior graphically, obviously. But like, it's just adding a couple more systems on top of existing things. Like I remember there being like a more, you had more direct control over like things like traffic. So like the way you like, lay out your streets and stuff, you can do more things with, which is kind of cool. But same thing with like the water in 2000, there's not like a real gameplay hook.
Yeah.
SimCity 4 though actually does dial back, some of the systems, and it makes it a little bit more. It reminded me a little bit more of the original SimCity versus 2 and 3000. It's still like, there's a bunch of shit going on there. Like, it's a fucking game that came out in like 2000 or whatever it was.
So I remember, again, didn't really play the games, but in terms of the aesthetics, certainly with 4, maybe with 3, you could build like incredibly complex and large cities with skyscrapers that went up like 80 stories or something like that. And then they had a lot of variance in terms of what the buildings looked like
exactly.
as well.
And that's the big hook. That's the real in both of the games, but I think more so particularly 4, that's the hook. Is like so you can make your own city, you can like, set it up however you want, but now you can also like really hone in on the look of your city. and they added all these different building packs. And like, yeah. again, they went like heavy. If you wanted to do like a futurist city, you can go there. And that all is super interesting to me because, you know, like I like to fucking mess around with shit like that.
Well, and that's great because unlike adding water in SimCity 2000, now you're adding gameplay, but it's aesthetic gameplay.
Exactly.
Where you get a payoff.
And an immediate payoff.
Yeah. Right. So you're doing work creating the buildings, but right. the payoff is you get this visual aesthetic. This is your design.
Yes. So I would say on both 3 and 4, like I want to put more time into both of those games. And I think it'd be worth your time as well, especially because we're now going to talk about the most recent SimCity, which is not all that great. And I'm going to let you take it away from here because I had no skin in this game whatsoever. And it has nothing to do with SimCity, but way more to do with the fact that like I was as far removed from PC gaming as possible when that game came out.
So again, I have to set this up a little bit. I took a leave of absence from a lot of PC gaming for about 3 or 4 years while I was in undergrad or finishing undergrad and then in law school. And then when I get out of law school and I start working, I built a very high-end PC. It was the first thing I did with my lawyer checks.
So, you know what I did with my first professional purchase was when I got my first grown-up piece of money?
Yeah.
I bought a $300 bong. So now that's out there on the internet for my son to discover.
What did it have like a skull on it or?
It had a tree top percolator, as it was called, two of them, I believe, and then an ice catcher. This is back when like before people smoked like weed crack and you actually like smoked a plant. But yeah, it was a big deal to me, buddy. I felt like I had made it.
Right. What happened to that guy?
Oh God, it's bounced around. Like I tried to get rid of it when I had my kid. I got rid of all my supplies because yes. you don't need it. I'm a dad now. That means I fucking smoke weed out of like a one hitter somewhere in the backyard. But all that other stuff, I tried to find homes for it, and a lot of it I just ended up throwing it away because you know what the fuck am I gonna do with it?
Oh, wow.
Other than you know smoke drugs out of it. But
well, you said you were so cheap, you held on to like half broken TVs for years. I would expect a $300 bong to.
Well. I mean, a cathode ray tube television is important.
It's a piece of history.
I can smoke pot out of an apple, sir. I can find a way.
If I need to.
Yeah, I can find a way, but you can't replicate that phosphorus glow.
Our SimCity podcast is taking a turn.
It always does. It always does. But so you were a lawyer. You got your first taste of lawyer right. money, and you bought a fancy computer, and there was a game in your eye right. line.
So first, it was such a perfect time to build a high-end computer because mm-hmm. all these amazing PC games were coming out at the time. Portal 2 had just come out in yep. 2011. Skyrim came out. BioShock Infinite came out.
Bitcoin wasn't a thing that made graphics cards super yeah, exactly, fucking expensive.
Right, right. So I'm just Deus Ex, one of the Deus Ex games came out. I'm just jamming through all these games that mm-hmm. I'm really, really excited about. And that goes from 2011 through 2012. Then 2013 hits and there's going to be a new SimCity game. And I'm paying pretty close attention to this because I'm really back into PC gaming.
Well, and there hadn't been a SimCity game in
like
years.
10 years, yeah. at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm watching some of the videos, you know, to like kind of see what the aesthetic is. And the aesthetic looks perfect.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic in the game, and this might be the only good thing I say about it, is perfect. All that charm that I said was missing from 2000 mm-hmm. is 100% there in this game. It looks like... if you ever saw like the introduction to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, where there's like a
yeah, I think I've seen it.
Yeah, okay.
A few times.
Okay, where there's like a model neighborhood, yeah. you know, and it's like toys, but it looks like that, and it's inviting and friendly and
warm
yeah. and soft colors, and it's just like come hang out here. You should live here. You know, it's like it's just great. So I'm really getting excited. So I pre-order the game,
which is something you. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't SimCity the first game you ever pre-ordered?
I think so, yeah. We've talked about my Kickstarter mistakes. I have made pre-order mistakes in my life. I had pre-ordered Diablo 3 as well, which several months after SimCity would have its own launch date debacles. Yeah. But SimCity, certainly that was the most money I had ever pre-ordered. Because
you were all in, right?
Like I bought the most expensive version of the game
yeah.
and all the DLC and like all, whatever I could give money to EA for that game, I just did.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I was like,
take it.
Right, you want an extra $10? Yeah. And
just give me my childhood back. Take it.
Yeah, please. So I'm so excited for the game. It's a midnight launch, and so I stay up. The game launches, and I get into the game, And I just start playing it, and I'm like, this is great. Mm-hmm. I'm making my city. The aesthetic is wonderful. Town is growing. And I'm kind of going along. And then on the other monitor on my computer, I'm kind of just seeing what the reaction is. And nobody else can get into the game. So they had these.
That's so cool. You're like the only guy in town playing the fucking game.
They had these tremendous server issues. And
well, and the only thing we should mention, it's really important to mention, actually, this game was designed to always be online to the point where you could not play it unless you had an internet connection.
And there was controversy about that before the game launched.
Of course.
Because people were like, hey, I'm not online all the time. I don't like. And there's controversy about that now, years later. But at the time, there was a lot of controversy about it. So then the game launches, and all the worst fears of those who'd been complaining about the always online component were realized when nobody else could get into the game because of this crush of hamsters trying to get to the end of the maze or whatever. Just launch the damn thing. But I did. For whatever miracle happened, like I was the one percenter who got into the game, and I made my city, and this is a 100% true story. For about 36 to 48 hours after that game launch, I had the biggest city in the entire world of SimCity.
what a good claim to fame.
I'm the top dog.
I should have had an achievement for it or something. But mostly because nobody else could get into the game. Exactly. Yeah, and I could get in.
I was a number one Guilty Gear player on Xbox, the original Xbox Live, because there was like 12 people who were playing.
Nobody else was hacking.
Yeah, exactly. And the guys that would play had lousy internet connections, so I could beat them.
So EA responds to all the problems by turning off a number of features, including, importantly, the ability to run the game in fast mode, cheetah mode.
Right.
And kept it off for like months. I mean, it was such a debacle. And we haven't gotten to the other problems yet. But just from a functional perspective, the game was designed, if you want to play it in like a fast mode so the years go by more quickly. They had to shut off that entire mode. Meaning that for a not insubstantial portion of the player base who wanted to play it that way, they just couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it, yeah.
And so it's like, how many people are going to turn this game off and not go back to it because they can't play it in the fast mode that they want? They have to play it in like the normal mode. So that was problem 1A. And then the other big issue was, and I cannot believe that they designed the game this way. And I didn't believe it so much that I had to have it verified like by three independent sources before I believed it. But the game wasn't designed for you to have large cities.
Yeah.
And so in SimCity 3 and 4, I just had complimented those games on one of the cool things that you could do is build like 80-story skyscrapers and then have all these different aesthetics with them. You cannot do that in the 2013 SimCity, this newest SimCity. And so I built my city out as big as I thought I could get it at the time, and I'm like, where – what else, what do I do now? How do I make it bigger? Isn't this town growing?
See, this was the bit, all of the complaints that you just said, I obviously heard them too, but this was the one that I heard the most, and it also confounded me the most. The fact that you had such a limited area, because it wasn't the idea to like share city to city, like your city would be butted up next to some other player's city, and you could like go into their city.
Yeah, and you could trade, and you'd have like, either like sister cities or something, you would be mutually beneficial for you to interact with other players.
Right, but that limited your actual play field where you could build your city.
Yes. And I don't want to be wrong about this because it has been a number of years, but I think it maxed out. It was absurdly small. I think it was like 50,000 people.
That's what I remember it being.
Was roughly as big as you could get. You were talking about 1991 SimCity. I had 500,000 people.
Half a million fucking people.
So this is 50,000.
You had St. Louis.
Yeah, right. And the buildings were not that big, you know? Right. And so it was great as I was playing it and building out. And it was like, oh, this is a nice little town. And then you want to grow and go to the next level, and you just couldn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, this cannot be the case. And it actually was.
It was the case.
And I read a postmortem like years later by one of the key developers. And I think they said that the long-term intention was for you to be able to merge the cities together and then make like huge megalopolises that would take up the entire region.
Right.
But that they never really got to that point because of all the other technical difficulties they had with the initial crush of players. And then when there was so much criticism over those players who had paid money for the game not being able to log on to play it, EA decided to undo that feature, which is it was so incredibly stupid. So they go back to the drawing board and they tell Maxis, hey, you guys need to make it so you can play this game offline. Mm-hmm. And Maxis had said, and they had said this in a number of design diaries and interviews, we can't, that component of it, the online component, is like baked into the core of the code.
Right.
It's going to be very, very difficult for us to remove that. And EA said, just do it. And it took Maxis a year, but they actually did it. And one of the last patches for SimCity that came out for that game allowed you to now play it in offline mode. But now we're into 2014. Nobody gives a shit about that game at all. And EA shut the studio down like months after that patch was released.
That's what's crazy to me. Like, imagine this. So Maxis did The Sims. We said earlier, one of the top-selling PC games of all time.
Yeah.
Followed that up with Sims 2. Maxis was still on Sims 2, which outsold The Sims, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Then there were still around for Sims 3, I think.
Sims 3. There was a Sims 4. And in between, there was all this DLC that came out.
Oh, yeah. But this is the story. And I might be wrong here, but I remember it being that, like, EA was basically rewarding, because they had wanted to make a SimCity for a long time, but they couldn't do it because EA just kept making them.
You guys need to make the Sims.
Yeah, you make the more fucking
Sims.
Money.
Yeah.
And so they got to a point where they had made so much money that they were like, okay, take a core group of whoever you want off of The Sims to go work on SimCity. We'll give you that. It's like the fucking, you know, the old director thing. You make one for us, you make your next one for
you.
Yeah,
one for them.
This one was like, you make 17 for us, and you can make one for you.
Got a little video games.
Big time. So they go, like, it's a gift to all SimCity fans that they were able to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And then through whatever hamstringing behind the scenes stuff that I imagine took place in terms of, like, not getting the resources they need, or maybe they just made mistakes that, like, they were too far down the line where they could correct them.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, budgetary, who knows. But the point is, like, they were basically rewarded to make the SimCity game based on their track record with The Sims, and then the SimCity game was such a debacle that now Maxis is gone. Like, they're just fucking gone.
It was crazy, too, because the initial reviews for the game were largely positive, between 8 and 10. And that's because everybody had played pre-release copies. And
on a private, well-structured server.
And they were experiencing the game the way I experienced it in those first few hours when it launched. And then because of all the issues, and this is the first time I've seen this happen, because of all the server problems, almost all those reviewers had to go back and change their reviews to reflect the server issues.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And that created an additional round of bad publicity when, like, IGN had to go back and say, okay, this game's now a 6 out of 10 because it can't get their damn servers right.
Right.
Instead of the 8.5 out of 10 that it would be if the game was in the state that it was when we were playing it for the review. So that happened. There was a lot of promoting that they did. I remember one of the first DLCs. I think it was free. I hope it was free because I definitely got it.
If it wasn't, you had it and you paid for it.
It was like they added a Nissan Leaf or something to the game.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think Nissan had paid them to put their crap in the game.
Yeah.
So, but then all of a sudden, like, that was getting kind of bad publicity for Nissan.
Because they're associated with, like, a shitty broken game.
Yeah. some issues there.
That sucks.
And then they had all this other DLC. They had this whole lineup that was planned. And then all of that basically got scuttled because there was such backlash because of the technical implementation of the game. And these two things, this dual-pronged pile of shit, which was the small city size on the one hand and the single or the online requirement on the other hand. And then Maxis went around and tried to fix those things. And they basically had to scrap everything else that they were planning. And then by the time they did fix them, nobody cared about the game anymore.
Yeah.
And the game is still there. I checked it out as recently as a few months ago. And it was still like, oh, yeah, but I'm not going to be able to make a city of more than 50,000 people. Like, why am I doing this? So it's such a tremendous waste because the thing that we were lauding the original 1991 SimCity for, this charm that Nintendo had put into it and how it feels when you turn it on. This new game actually had. They got that part of it right. That's the hardest part to get right.
That was the thing that they needed all these years. They needed that part.
And they got it, and they 100% nailed it, in my opinion. And the music, again, the music, like the charming, quaint music that makes you feel like you're in any town USA.
Yeah.
Totally nailed it. And then they botched these other things that the other games had gotten right.
Right.
But that this game did not get right. And then it ends up getting the studio closed down. That game came out in 2013. This is now 2019. I have recently checked to see if there's anything about a new SimCity game on the horizon. There's fucking nothing.
There's nothing.
Nothing out there. Yeah. So if you want that now, maybe this is a good segue to the SimCity imposters or your alternatives. And there have been attempts at making, well, obviously there's
the big one. Yeah. The big one that's kind of taken up the SimCity mantle is City Skylines.
Yeah. And that by all accounts is pretty good. And it's
been, that's what I've heard.
There's been tons of content added to it. I've never played it, but there's a lot you can add to it. I don't know. I mean, it's been out for a while now. Yeah. Sure.
It came out on the Switch, and I remember that's where I was going to grab it because, you know, it's a Switch. Like,
yeah, why not?
Why not? I could make a city while I poop. It's great.
Yep.
But that, like so many other ports for the Switch, it had a bunch of stability problems and just, like, you know, problems running good. So I don't know if it's been updated since. I know a couple times it's been on sale, and I've had it in my purview, almost clicked by, and then I just didn't. It's something I definitely want to give the old college try to, because it's been so long since I've played anything, just like you, any new SimCity kind of a thing. And yeah, I have 3 and 4, and those are the black hole, the void. And if anything, I'll probably go back to that before I invest any money on Skylines, but I'm definitely curious about that. But there's other city games on Steam, right? Right. Other than City Skylines.
Yeah. And, I can't. There was another one that was in development, I think, to compete with City Skylines, and I can't remember the name of it because we didn't do notes for this podcast.
Well, I'm sure there's got to be more than one. And the reason why I feel that way is because of how ubiquitous and popular the series used to be.
Right.
And like the there's got to be someone somewhere out there, and you know, clearly City Skylines is doing that. But like there feels like a genuine need for a game like this.
Well, look at a comparable like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
So Roller Coaster Tycoon and its sequel were coded by literally one guy in assembly, by the way, which is a really difficult way to code. And
assembly is machine language. Yes. That's how they made NES games.
And he released those games and made an obscene amount of money and then basically retired and has not done anything in the industry since. And it's been like 20 years. He's just been living off that.
So cool.
But because of the success of that, you know, everybody who's listening to this podcast has seen Blank Tycoon, you know, like 100 times or versions of it. And then just recently, within the last year, there was a water park game that came out or something that looks like a new version of Roller Coaster Tycoon. Mm-hmm. And then, and I think a new zoo game by, I think it's by the same developer maybe, but that has come out or is coming out very, very soon as well. So the point is, there's been all sorts of tycoon games to sort of pick up the legacy of Roller Coaster Tycoon, but you haven't really had that in the SimCity genre, other than City Skylines and this one unnamed competitor that I can't think of to pick up that. And by the way, while I'm at it, there needs to be a new Railroad Tycoon game as well. Railroad Tycoon 2 is a spectacular game.
I never got it. I never gave those the time of day.
Railroad Tycoon 2 is great. Mm-hmm. Railroad Tycoon 3, not great. And there haven't been any Railroad Tycoon games of worth since, and there needs to be. So if you're out there, game developer, anonymous,
if you're
game
out
developer,
there, 61-year-old man who's a train enthusiast and also an expert coder.
Well, Sid Meier was the original railroad.
Oh, yeah, guy. Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, he's still out there.
He is in his 60s and is a train enthusiast.
Sid Meier, I know you're listening. We need a Railroad Tycoon 4, and then if while you're at it, you want to make a SimCity knockoff, that would be fine too.
I agree with that. So I think before we wrap it up, I want to get some personal takeaways here. I'll go with you first. When you look at the whole scope of what games you're into, you know, all the time you've spent playing video games, where does, and I'll specifically say Super Nintendo SimCity, because I know that's the big dog, just like it is for me.
Yeah.
Where does that fit in for you in terms of the influence and the importance overall?
Well, it basically invented simulation games. And simulation games are something I try to stay away from now because they're such time sinks.
Yeah, they are. They really
are. And they're open-ended, so you just never finish them. I mean, where does it fit in? I mean, it's among the more influential games that, you know, I ever played. And I was a game designer at one time. Mm-hmm. And SimCity was on my mind when I was...
When you were doing your actual work?
Of course.
Yeah.
And but then more than that, it's also on my mind when I play other games that I want to have or incorporate features that SimCity had. Mm-hmm. And it was on my mind while I was playing that 2013 SimCity game. I was like, why the hell can I put 500,000 people in this game from 15 years ago, but I can't do it for this game?
Right.
So, of course, Will Wright's his presence in the industry. And we didn't talk about how he... You mentioned Spore briefly earlier, but that was really kind of meant to be. It wasn't really a successor to SimCity, but that was his big ultimate ambition.
That was his successor game. To Sim games.
So, yeah. And you know that game didn't quite work out as well. I was another day one purchaser of that. Had a lot of fun with it, but there was no depth. It was all kind of initial flash,
yeah.
And then there was just no substance there. And since then, he has also been gone. Yeah. And so the takeaway for me is there is a void that could be filled with that kind of a game, and I miss it, and I wish somebody out there would deliver on it,
yeah.
the way it should be delivered on. And EA still owns the branding to it, so it's like put some guys in a room, EA. Let's get another.
Well, that's kind of the shitty thing, though, is like it sucks that it's tied up at EA because like
yeah.
and this is a tease to a future podcast that we'll do hopefully sooner than later. But I think that you look at the Maxis story and it is very analogous to the BioWare story, where you have a string of successes and then one gigantic failure. And with BioWare, that being Anthem. And then
but really two failures now with Andromeda then Anthem.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget? Yes. So you have two big failures. But BioWare, the lights are still on over there for now, for however long. But yeah, I mean, fucking EA cut the head off of Maxis, then...
Well, there's a graveyard. Pandemic Studios made a bunch of good games, got bought up by EA, and then scuttled. And there's some graphic online out there that shows all the developers that EA bought who had made renowned products, and then EA either ruined the franchises or just dissolved the developer.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like BioWare, which was as big as Blizzard at one point, might be the next on the chopping block. And Maxis is already gone, and that would have been unthinkable 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Like, again, you can't overemphasize the success of The Sims. And the fact that house is no longer a house is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you read the postmortems of the executive producers on SimCity, there is a huge degree of bitterness there.
Yeah.
Because from their perspective, all the bad decisions were EA decisions. They ended up being the fall guys. They spent a year doing not what they wanted to do, but what they were ordered to do to fix the problems that they didn't cause to begin with. And then got scuttled as a studio anyway and blamed for everything that happened.
Yep.
So, they're not too happy how that worked
damned
out.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
For me, SimCity fits into, and I'm nowhere near the strategy gamer that you are, but I do dabble. And when a game like that hits, it hits me hard. So like, you know, like I'm a big fan of strategy RPGs, so like your Fire Emblems and like Disgaea and all that kind of stuff. And to me, I don't think I would have gotten there if it wasn't for SimCity. Just in terms of like a video game, like never mind the fact that like what the subject is, the fact that it controlled a certain way that it did, like led me to be able to understand how to play a blanket strategy game. So that's super important. But I think more than anything, it appealed to my creativity because I could like you can think of a cool city and then make it happen. So it's not unlike drawing. And I like doing that. And I like Mario Paint. So it all kind of fit in together. And I've said many times without Mario Paint, I don't know if I would have like done the stuff that I've done in my adult life.
this is the ultimate credit to SimCity. You and I have very different opinions on Mario Paint, mostly directly related to our creative abilities.
Right.
But we both come together around SimCity, though. A game that also encourages creativity.
No, but it speaks to like the size of the net that game casts. It can grab a lot of different fans from a lot of different fandoms, and there aren't a lot of games like that. And that alone makes SimCity special. And with that, game over, yeah.